Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Polls will open for Election Day at 7 a.m. tomorrow, and the gubernatorial candidates spent the weekend and much of today in a final push to get out the vote. Here's Democratic nominee Martha Coakley.
I promise you a ticket like Massachusetts has never seen before in our opportunity now to show the rest of the country and the rest of the world what it means to be prosperous, to do well, and to be fair to everybody here.
And here's Republican nominee Charlie Baker.
When I'm out there talking to voters, what they want to talk about are what I call the pocketbook stuff. They want to talk about jobs. They want to talk about schools they send their kids to. They want to talk about taxes and spending.
The candidates are rallying supporters and making the final pitch that they are the best person to lead the state for the next 4 years. WB's Basma Khalid has been following the Baker campaign this weekend, and WBUR's Fred Tice was with the Coakley campaign. Asma and Fred both join us now to talk more about how each campaign is preparing for Election Day. Asma is by cell phone from Stoneham, and Fred is by cell from Lynn. Asma and Fred, welcome to both of you.
Hi, thanks
for
having us.
And since we have you both on the phone simultaneously, feel free, please, to jump in if you have a thought as the other person is talking. Asma, let me start with you. Tell us about Charlie Baker's schedule today. What has he had lined up?
Well, he's had a pretty thin schedule today. He did attend the funeral of former Boston Mayor Tom Menino earlier this afternoon. But in terms of public campaign stuff, he's kept it pretty thin. He has just three. He'll be here in Stoneham shortly. And then after that, he's wrapping it up early around 6:30 with a party in the high school gym of his hometown in Swampscott. And I think this is kind of a sign of the momentum that Charlie's been feeling. You know, he took 2 days off of the campaign when former Boston Mayor Tom Menino passed away, which, you know, Martha Coakley, his opponent, did not do. I think she only took 1 day off the campaign. So Charlie, it seems, with a sort of lighter schedule, seems to be feeling good going into the election tomorrow.
Is there any sense, certainly we know that Charlie Baker has been dogged in the past few days about the details of the story about the fisherman that made him cry. Is there any sense that the less he's out in public, the fewer times he'll have to field questions about that?
You know, that's a good question. I mean, I would say he's certainly been fielding questions about this fisherman that brought him to tears in the debate recently. And he's been fielding those questions almost every day and every time I see him. But no sort of new information. He insists he told the truth. Perhaps he might have missed some of the details here and there. But no one's been able to yet track down the fisherman that was mentioned by him.
And Fred Tice, how does Martha Coakley's schedule today compare to what we just heard from Asma that Charlie Baker's was like?
She's had a very crowded schedule. She started in Cambridge this morning with construction workers at a Novartis plant, moved on to a diner in Brockton to talk to people who are largely supportive there. She also attended the funeral of Mayor Tom Menino, and we are waiting for her now in Lynn for a rally with the Democratic candidate for the 6th Congressional District seat, Seth Moulton. Then from here, she goes on to Grove Hall in Roxbury tonight for a rally with Governor Deval Patrick. Before that, actually, between Lynn and Roxbury, she is going to go to her campaign headquarters to talk to her volunteers and her staff. And then she ends the evening after Grove Hall. She will go to the Erie Pub in Adams Village in Dorchester.
So this is a dawn to dark day.
Yeah, it really is.
And Fred, do you have any sense, based on this busy schedule you've described that Martha Coakley has today compared to the seemingly less frenzied schedule that Asma described Charlie Baker having, what does that indicate to you about Martha Coakley's sort of frame of mind? Is this a sense of urgency? What does it tell you about her confidence level?
I'm not sure it says anything about her level of confidence. I do think it really addresses the need for exemplify a sense of urgency in her campaign. But I also think they're trying to address some perceptions here. In the primary, on the last day, the day before the primary, Steve Grossman was all over the state, I think, and Martha Coakley had, I think, three events in that campaign. It looked like, you know, she was kind of coasting into the primary, and the polls had her 20 points ahead, and then in the end, she only won the primary by 6 points. So I think it's more about trying to show that they're not taking this for granted, but more than anything else.
Asma, there's a new ad from the Baker campaign coming out today that features Charlie Baker's wife, Lauren Baker, fairly prominently. Here's a little bit of what that new ad sounds like.
You've run the race you wanted to run.
That is the most important thing of all, by far.
You got to say what you wanted to say.
Yep.
You are always positive.
True. She's nailing it, man, one after another. This is good.
Smile. Go out there and ask for the vote, Baker.
Asma, what's the view of political analysts on why it was important for Baker to feature his wife in this final ad?
Well, Lauren Baker overall during this campaign has been a much larger presence than she was when Baker ran 4 years ago for the governor's seat. And I think this sort of last day's ad, which will air, I believe, on three broadcasts this evening at around 6 p.m., so sort of primetime coverage for people to view this ad, showcase him with his teenage daughter and then also with his wife. And it's sort of this image of a lighthearted, softer Baker. And we've been hearing about this throughout the campaign, that Baker this time around is gentler, his image softer around the edges. And I think this campaign ad sort of sums up the message he's been trying to put out throughout this campaign.
Fred, over the weekend, Martha Coakley had the help of Governor Patrick. And here's some of what the governor said to Coakley's supporters.
You know what we have to do. You know why it matters. We got the real deal. Not a person with an authenticity problem. The real deal, Martha Coakley.
Now, Asma, that sounds like quite a dig there. Tell us more about that authenticity problem, as Governor Patrick put it, and why he raised it.
Well, you know, he didn't elaborate on it. I think he just sort of decided to let it hang in the air. But it was pretty clear to me that he was talking about the fisherman story that you and Asma were just talking about a couple of minutes ago, right?
Right, exactly. Asma, I understand that Martha Coakley told her supporters today, and this is a quote, "Don't let anybody tell you we're down in the polls. It's totally tied," end quote. Now, the polls have been bouncing around a bit. In some cases, Baker shows a lead. Other places shows them closer. Tell us the latest on the polling.
Yeah, I mean, I've been covering our WBUR tracking poll throughout the campaign season, and I will say that Martha Coakley started off very comfortably. We were looking at double-digit leads for the Attorney General, and week after week, Charlie Baker has been able to chip away at those margins that she had, and I would say sort of in a variety of key groups. We're talking about women. Women she had double-digit leads in, that seems to no longer be the case. Unenrolled voters, Charlie's been doing better and better with them week after week. And even among traditional Democrats, he's been able to peel away some of those voters. I was looking at 538, which is, you know, sort of venerable prognosticator in the political polling world run by Nate Silver. And they have the Massachusetts governor's race at a sort of 86% odds that Charlie Baker will win. Obviously, these things are always a bit of a wash and a bit of a forecast. But I think, again, this speaks to the momentum that Charlie is feeling as we go into Election Day.
And Martha Coakley obviously wants to stop that momentum. Fred Tice, I understand you asked her to make a final appeal to voters who are undecided, to sort of encapsulate for you what she thinks her final appeal is. And here's what she said.
They should look at the two candidates and say, who's going to be on your side? I think it's really clear if people are undecided, chances are they haven't focused on the race. And I think if they look now at what I have said I will do and what I've done as Attorney General and before that as District Attorney, stand up for people, making sure that we stand up to big businesses and corporations, that we're going to stand up for fairness, giving kids and people a fair shot, they'll come my way.
Now, Fred, that's about a 30-second answer, the opposite of a soundbite, for better or for worse. Do you feel like that message is well encapsulated and resonating with voters?
Well, you know, here's the thing, right? A lot of things have been said about Martha Coakley that I think are just wrong, and you see that they're wrong when you spend some time with her. Right? She turns out to be a really funny person, a very down-to-earth person, incredibly personable person. And she has made sure during this campaign that that everybody sees that she's also a very hard-working campaigner. You know, she's been out there every day for more than a year. She was not going to let her defeat to Scott Brown repeat itself this time around. She was really going to work for it. But the one thing she really doesn't seem to be able to do is to campaign very effectively in the very narrow sense of, you know, delivering a message, telling people why it is they should be voting for her. She just struggles with that. And Governor Patrick does a great job with it. He can tell people 50 ways why they should vote for Martha Coakley. She really struggles with that.
Huh. Well, she has him out there with her on the trail. They'll be out this evening. And again, the polls open at 7 o'clock tomorrow. Vote. We encourage people to vote. That's Fred Tice, a WBUR reporter covering the Coakley campaign. Fred, thanks very much.
Glad to do it.
And Asma Khalid is a WBUR reporter covering the Baker campaign. Asma, thanks very much for you, too.
You're welcome, Sasha.
And for a link to both of their reporting on the gubernatorial election, you can go to our website, radioboston.org. Stay with us. Coming up, public radio loses a man whose laugh alone has made millions of other people laugh over the years. We'll say goodbye and remember the life of WBUR's own Tom Malyazzi, known along with his equally funny sibling as Click and Clack the Tappet Brothers. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.